Our help is in the name of the Lord, who has made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord, in communion with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Congregation, let us sing from Psalter 53, the first stanza. The Lord's my shepherd, I'll not want. He makes me down to lie. In pastures green he leadeth me, and the quiet waters by. Psalter 53, stanza 1.
To read to you this morning from God's holy word, that which can be found in the book of Psalms, Psalm 81. But before that, the law of our God as it can be found in Exodus 20 and Deuteronomy 5. And God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image, or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them. For I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children, unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbor's. Psalm 81. To the chief musician upon Gittith, a psalm of Asaph. Sing aloud unto God our strength. Make a joyful noise unto the God of Jacob. Take a psalm and bring hither the timbrel, the pleasant harp with the psaltery. Blow up the trumpet in the new moon, in the time appointed on our solemn feast day. For this was a statute for Israel and a law of the God of Jacob. This he ordained in Joseph for a testimony when he went out through the land of Egypt, where I heard a language that I understood not. I removed his shoulder from the burden, his hands were delivered from the pots. Thou callest in trouble, and I deliver thee. I answered thee in the secret place of thunder. I proved thee at the waters of Meribah, Selah. Hear, O my people, and I will testify unto thee, O Israel, if thou wilt hearken unto me. There shall no strange god be in thee, neither shalt thou worship any strange god. I am the Lord thy God, which brought thee out of the land of Egypt. Open thy mouth wide, and I will fill it. But my people would not hearken to my voice, and Israel would none of me. So I gave them up unto their own heart's lust, and they walked in their own counsels. Oh, that my people had hearkened unto me, and Israel had walked in my ways! I should soon have subdued their enemies and turned my hand against their adversaries. The haters of the Lord should have submitted themselves unto him, but their time should have endured forever. He should have fed them also with the finest of the wheat, and with honey out of the rock should I have satisfied thee. We will now read the form for the administration of baptism, which can be found in Psalm on the back of the Psalter, on page 126. Form for the administration of baptism. The principal parts of the doctrine of holy baptism are these three. First, that we, with our children, are conceived and born in sin, and therefore are children of wrath, insomuch that we cannot enter into the kingdom of God except we are born again. This, the dipping in or sprinkling with water, teaches us, whereby the impurity of our souls is signified, and we admonish to loathe and humble ourselves before God and seek for our purification and salvation without ourselves. Secondly, holy baptism witnesseth and sealeth unto us the washing away of our sins through Jesus Christ. Therefore, we are baptized in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. For when we are baptized in the name of the Father, God the Father witnesseth and sealeth unto us that he doth make an eternal covenant of grace with us, and adopts us for his children and heirs, and therefore will provide us with every good thing, and avert all evil, or turn it to our profit. And when we are baptized in the name of the Son sealeth unto us that he doth wash us in his blood from all our sins, incorporating us into the fellowship of his death and resurrection, so that we are freed from all our sins and accounted righteous before God. In like manner, when we are baptized in the name of the Holy Ghost assures us by this holy sacrament that he will dwell in us and sanctify us to be members of Christ, applying unto us that which we have in Christ, namely, the washing away of our sins and the daily renewing of our lives, till we shall finally be presented without spot or wrinkle among the assembly of the elect in life eternal. Thirdly, Whereas in all covenants there are contained two parts, therefore are we by God through baptism admonished of and obliged unto new obedience, namely, that we cleave to this one God, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, that we trust in Him and love Him with all our hearts, with all our souls, with all our mind, and with all our strength, that we forsake the world, crucify our old nature, and walk in a new and holy life. And if we sometimes, through weakness, fall into sin, we must not therefore despair of God's mercy, nor continue in sin, since baptism is a seal, an undoubted testimony, that we have an eternal covenant of grace with God. And although our young children do not understand these things, we may not therefore exclude them from baptism, for as they are without their knowledge partakers of the condemnation in Adam, so are they again received unto grace in Christ, as God speaketh unto Abraham, the father of all the faithful, and therefore unto us and our children, saying, I will establish my covenant between me and thee, and thy seed after thee, in their generations, for an everlasting covenant, to be a God unto thee, and to thy seed after thee. This also the apostle Peter testifieth with these words, for the promise is unto you, and to your children, and to all that are afar off, as many as the Lord our God shall call. Therefore God formerly commanded them to be circumcised, which was a seal of the covenant, and of the righteousness of faith. And therefore Christ also embraced them, and laid his hands upon them, and blessed them. Since then baptism is come in the place of circumcision, therefore infants are to be baptized as heirs of the kingdom of God and of his covenant. And parents are in duty bound further to instruct their children herein when they shall arrive to years of discretion. That therefore this holy ordinance of God may be administered to his glory, to our comfort, and to the edification of his church, let us call upon his holy name.
Let us try to pray. O Almighty and Eternal God, thou who hast, according to thy severe judgment, punished the unbelieving and unrepentant world with the flood, and hast, according to thy great mercy, saved and protected believing Noah and his family, and thou who hast drowned the obstinate Pharaoh and his host in the Red Sea, and hast led thy people Israel through the midst of the sea upon dry ground, by which baptism was signified, we beseech thee that thou wilt be pleased of thine infinite mercy graciously to look upon these children, and incorporate them by thy Holy Spirit into thy Son Jesus Christ, that they may be buried with him into his death, and be raised with him in newness of life, that they may daily follow him, joyfully bearing their cross, and cleave unto him in true faith, firm hope, and ardent love, that they may with a comfortable sense of thy favor leave this life, which is nothing but a continual death, and at the last day may appear without terror before the judgment seat of Christ thy Son, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who with thee and the Holy Ghost, one only God, lives and reigns forever. Amen. While the children are brought in, let us sing from Psalter 215 and the sixth stanza. Let children learn God's righteous ways, and on him stay their heart. that they may not forget his works, nor from his ways depart. The sixth stanza of Psalter 215. I now request the parents to arise and to answer the following questions. Beloved in the Lord Jesus Christ, you have heard that baptism is an ordinance of God to seal unto us and to our seed his covenant. Therefore, it must be used for that end and not out of custom or superstition. That it may then be manifest that you are thus minded, you are to answer sincerely to these questions. First, whether you acknowledge that although our children are conceived and born in sin, and therefore are subject to all miseries, yea, to condemnation itself, yet in that they are sanctified in Christ, and therefore as members of his church ought to be baptized. Secondly, whether you acknowledge the doctrine which is contained in the Old and New Testaments and in the articles of the Christian faith, and which is taught here in this Christian church, to be the true and perfect doctrine of salvation. Thirdly, whether you promise and intend to see these children, when come to the years of discretion whereof you are parents, instructed and brought up in the aforesaid doctrine, or help or cause them to be instructed therein to the utmost of your power. What is your answer, Father and Mother Van Hagenbos? Father and Mother Vandenberg. Father and Mother Nordegraaf. Father and Mother Mons, Father and Mother Less, Father and Mother Janssen, and Father and Mother Janssen. Parents, we have just heard out of the forum that this baptism and that is a sign and a seal of the covenant, that is of the covenant of grace. And our fathers, and they say here, and that God the Father adopts us for His children and heirs. What does that mean? That means that there will be among those children those of His own elect. And thus He says, they are not your children, but they are My children. And therefore He commands us to bring them up, not as our children, but as His children, as the means by which indeed He will truly adopt many in that outward church to be His children. And we know that has happened very often in many years ago, and that children, they were given to a guardian. And if we now had to give this, our child, into the hands of a guardian, and they were to take care of that child for us for some years, then how would it be for us when that guardian would never speak about us to our child, when he would never mention our name to our child, or that when he would speak of us, that he would speak of us in a very cold way, that he would speak of us without any warmth or without any affection? How would that be when we had given instruction about the bringing up of our child, and that guardian would take our child to places where we did not agree? And when we had given direction concerning the instruction of that child, what he is to be taught, that guardian would take that child and completely change that whole curriculum and give him an instruction that we had never desired. Because we are parents, indeed the guardians of these children, not for our own sake, but for the sake of the Lord. And you mothers, you care sometimes for your neighbor's children or your brother's or your sister's children, maybe. And when there is some important decision that you have to make, or that child asks you for something, then what do you say? Then you say, well, child, I must ask your father. I must ask your mother, because I am not your father and I am not your mother. And in such a way, the Lord makes you guardian of His children. May the Lord give an impression each and every day that the Lord says that they are children that must be brought up for Me. The Lord said to the wife of Manoah that she was going to receive a child, and she was barren. The Lord opens the womb. And then Manoah, he went back to the Lord, and he said, Lord, how shall we order the child? And how shall we do unto him? May that be your question every day to the Lord. Lord, how shall I order this child? And how shall I do unto him? And the Lord answered, and He said, he shall be a Nazarite. He shall be separated. Separated from this world. May so you be given to bring up your children, not for this world or for ourselves, but may it be for the Lord. Congregation, after the amen of baptism, we ask you to sing standing Psalter 425, stanza 5. Joel Hendrick, I baptize thee in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Madison Cheney, I baptize thee in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Corey Hendrick, I baptize thee in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Malin Bethany, I baptize thee in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Tyson Lawrence, I baptize thee in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Tom Martin, I baptize thee in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Henry Peter, I baptize thee in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Yeah. Let us now close with thanksgiving and at the same time ask for a blessing upon this service. Almighty God and merciful Father, we thank and praise Thee that Thou hast forgiven us and our children all our sins. Through the blood of Thy beloved Son, Jesus Christ, and received us through Thy Holy Spirit as members of Thine only begotten Son, and adopted us to be Thy children, and sealed and confirmed the same unto us by holy baptism. We beseech Thee, through the same Son of Thy love, that Thou wilt be pleased always to govern these baptized children by Thy Holy Spirit, that they may be piously and religiously educated, increase and grow up in the Lord Jesus Christ, that they then may acknowledge Thy fatherly goodness and mercy, which Thou hast shown to them and us, and live in all righteousness under our only teacher, King, and High Priest, Jesus Christ, and manfully fight against and overcome sin, the devil, and his whole dominion, to the end that they may eternally praise and magnify Thee and Thy Son, Jesus Christ, together with the Holy Ghost, the one only true God. Strengthen these parents for this labor which Thou hast entrusted unto them in Thy name, to bring up these children for Thee. And may Thou sanctify and bless both word and sacrament in the midst of Thy church. For Thou knowest the days wherein it is our lot to live by Thee, wherein we do witness so little. And yet, Lord, Thou art the same yesterday, today, and forever. Oh, we beseech Thee, and that Thou may come from heaven. Oh, that Thou may send forth Thy Holy Spirit in remembrance of Thy covenant, and of that promise that Thou hast given unto Thy church, that also in our days we may be given to see amongst us those that may truly become a sinner before God, that may be given to know what they have become in their father Adam, and that they are outside of Thee, and that they need to be incorporated into that covenant by the power and the working of Thy Holy Spirit. O Lord, that Thou may give a cry in the midst of us, and that Thy word may be sanctified, and that Thou may do for us and our children what we are not able to do. Look upon each and every one that is baptized. Oh, give us to know and to feel something of that great privilege this day, but also that great responsibility. For what shall it be for us to come to the last breath of our life and have never been incorporated by Thee? Oh, Lord, that Thou may remember us. Bind this matter this day upon our hearts as we will go again from this place. Oh, that we may go out different as we have come in. And may Thou look upon young and old together concerning this matter. For it has to do with a never-ending eternity. And it has to do with the honor of Thy name, and what Thou hast promised unto Thy church. Lord, wilt Thou look upon us in this day we are gathered around word and sacrament, or that we may feel something of Thy nearness and Thy presence, that Thy children also may receive in this day a little token from Thee, and that Thou that Thou wilt never forsake the work of Thine own hands. and that all discouragement from our side, and that they may therewith look upon to Thee, to receive that hope that shall never be made ashamed. Wilt Thou look upon young and old, remember those parents in our community who have in this week that is gone by laid a little child in the grave. Lord, and we know not how long, and that Thou wilt entrust our children unto us, and that can be for such a very short time. Oh, that Thou may uphold them, for that is a deep way, and Thou knowest why that it is necessary. Could it please Thee to sanctify that way? And wilt Thou give us also with our children, the youngest of them, to hasten for the sake of our lives? And that Thou may look upon our children, and that Thou may give them even in the days of their youth to fear Thee. Look upon us in this hour, be on our right and on our left hand in speaking and in hearing. And wilt Thou Thyself show Thyself to be feelingly and believingly in our midst? We ask it in the forgiveness of all our sin. We remember also those parents who were blessed also in the week that is gone by with a well-born child. Wilt Thou continue to make all things well, and give that it also may be a child born to be born again? And when we see and that there are so many children and young people in our midst, O Lord, that it may be for Thy honor and for Thy glory to take those young hearts and to bind them unto Thee, we ask it also for this morning hour, in Jesus' name, amen. While your offering is being received, we'll sing from Psalter number 7, stanzas 1, 2, and 3, on the good and faithful. God has set His love. When they call, He sends them blessings from above. And what follows in all three stanzas of Psalter number 7, and it was Mr. and Mrs. Harry Bouse that were blessed in this past week with a well-born daughter. The last collection today is for the Calgary loan repayment. Psalter number 7, all the stanzas. Congregation, the words of our text for this morning hour can be found in that portion of God's Word which was read to you, Psalm 81, and thereof the 10th verse. Psalm 81, verse 10. I am the Lord thy God, which brought thee out of the land of Egypt. Open thy mouth wide, and I will fill it. So far, the words of our text, which speaks of the word of the Lord to his people at the commemoration of his ordinances, which we would like to consider in two thoughts. First, a reminder of his covenant. I am the Lord thy God, which brought thee out of the land of Egypt. A reminder of his covenant. Second, his command with his promise. Open thy mouth wide, and I will fill it. Thus the word of the Lord to his people at the commemoration of his ordinances. First, a reminder of his covenant, and second, his command with his promise. It is believed, congregation, that this psalm that was not composed at a particular occasion, but that it was composed for a particular ordinance, perhaps in general the ordinance of the new moon, or perhaps the Feast of Trumpets, which has taken place every 7 months. Sing aloud unto God our strength, make a joyful noise unto the God of Jacob. Take a psalm and bring hither the timbrel, the pleasant harp and with the psaltery. Blow up the trumpet in the new moon, in the time appointed on our solemn feast day. And then those feasts, were that by which the Lord has spoken to his people concerning himself, what he was for them. Thus he said that those feasts, they were holy, and he has commanded that those feasts ought to be kept, for this was a statute for Israel and a law of the God of Jacob. And we do not commemorate the new moon anymore, and we do not commemorate anymore the Feast of Trumpets once in the year, but indeed the Lord has given to us in our time other ordinances, and the ordinance of baptism, and that is indeed one of them. The ordinances, they are not for the whole world. No, those ordinances are a special privilege. The ordinances are for his own people. Because what does the Lord say in those ordinances? The Lord, he says, I am the Lord thy God. And we know that that is true in a double sense. Because the Lord, he has said of that whole nation of Israel, I am the Lord thy God. And so it was for them in an outward way. And yet Paul, he says, they are not all Israel, which are of Israel. And so we know that it was not all for all of them in an inward way, and that the substance that was not given to all of them. And yet, though the Lord, he said already that Jacob have I loved and Esau have I hated, still of Esau in an outward way, as he was one of the children of Israel, and then the Lord has included him in that way, in that circumcision, that the Lord, he says even unto him, I am the Lord thy God. And so it is also with us. Also with us this day, when we with our children are baptized, and that the Lord, he says in that outward sense, I am the Lord thy God. But it is not enough. Do we feel the insufficiency of that outward sense? Do we feel something of the great accountability that we will bear with it? Oh, do we say in our heart, from the bottom of my heart, oh Lord, could it be that Thou would say that also to my very soul, I am the Lord thy God? Do you ask of Him with that baptized forehead, that you say, Lord, remember me. Remember me also with that favor that Thou bearest unto Thy people. I am the Lord thy God. Is that not something? Is that not something for the Lord to say? Is it not something for the Lord to say, especially after the fall? Because it was something already in our creation that the Lord, He has dealt with that creature that He has just finished making. That was His own creation. That He dealt with that creature in a covenantal way. That He says, I will make a covenant, that I will make an agreement with you. As if they were on one level. That was God and His creature. And that was evidence of the height of our creation. How that man, he was created in that image. So that God, because of that knowledge and that righteousness and that holiness that was in him, was even able to make with his own creation a covenant. So that that was a wonder from the beginning. But is that not much more a wonder? That the Lord says this unto man after his rebellion, in paradise, that the Lord says, I am the Lord thy God. That was evidence not only of his sovereignty and his wisdom, as was evidenced in that original covenant, but there was evidence of much more in him, and that was also of his mercy and of his grace. I am the Lord thy God. That speaks about a God who is reconciled unto his people. Even after man has insulted him in that free departure by his own will in paradise. That was not a reconciliation that was sought by his people. No, Adam and Eve have never asked for that. When the Lord had come to them, and he said, where art thou? Then we hear of no request. But before the Lord has carried out his punishment in sending them out of that garden, in separating them from his immediate presence, from his immediate enjoyment, the Lord has spoken that first promise in their ears. Then he has spoken of the coming of that mediator. No, that was not first sought out by Adam and Eve, but that was covenanted already by the Lord in that never begun, in the stillness of eternity. because that was now the only way that it was possible for the Father to once again be reconciled unto His children, and therefore parents are set before us in this ordinance, the tokens of that mediator and the tokens of what He has done in order that He may say unto us and to our children, I am the Lord thy God. That is also a reconciliation that is not sought by us. The Lord, He is the first one. That is, that every one of those elect children, they must be brought under the Word. They must be brought to the Word, or that Word must be brought to them. Congregation, most of us, we were also baptized when we were a little child. And then we have come under the administration of that holy Word of God. What had that to do with our efforts? What had that to do with our desires? No, that had everything to do with the Lord Himself and the Lord's desire. Thus, even in an outward way, then it is the Lord who is in His providence bringing together those circumstances to bring His elect from that stillness of eternity, to bring them under His own Word, that it may become true in the time what He has foreordained from before the foundation of the world. And inwardly, what does the Lord say? He says, I am the Lord thy God, which brought thee out of the land of Egypt. Say, well, that people, they cried unto the Lord. The Lord did not deliver that people until they cried to Him. That is what we read. Thus, it was not the Lord that was the beginning, but it was the people that were at the beginning. Is that so? Is that really so? What did that cry come out of? Well, that cry that has come out of a distress. And before that new Pharaoh arose, then what were the children of Israel doing? We read it later. They were enjoying the leeks and the cucumbers and all the blessings of Egypt. And do you think that if it had remained that way, that there would ever have come a cry out of the heart of the people? Into the ears of the Lord of Sabaoth? Never. But it could not be. It was impossible. And why impossible? Well, our children know. Our children know the Lord had spoken about that already before. The Lord had spoken about that to Abraham. And He said that your seed that shall go down into that strange land, and they shall be bond servants. And the Lord says, I will bring them up again. Thus, where did the rigor of that new Pharaoh come from? They came from the Lord. That was in His decree. That was His providence. Because that had to become for the children of Israel a land of bondage. Why? Because the Lord is the first one. Because the Lord is carrying out His own decree. Thus, that is now the dealings of Him who says, I am the Lord thy God. They are the mercies that are flowing out of that new covenant, that covenant of grace. Even though they are as a bitter medicine, O congregation, did this land Did that ever become to us a land of bondage? From which our cry has also entered into the ears of that Lord of Sabaoth? The elect, they are in Christ from eternity. In that covenant of redemption, in that covenant of grace, that is one covenant, but they must now be brought in that time. And there is no uncertainty in it. As sure as the Lord brings them in that outward way, that is for a purpose, that He may bring them in that inward way. I am the Lord thy God. That is now the blessing that is spoken of in the ordinances of the Lord. Circumcision, baptism, signs, seals of that new covenant. And thus that ordinance, that is a reminder of the covenant of the Lord. Every time again, when that ordinance that may be administered in our midst. Why? Because the Lord will not have His people to forget it. They may not forget that covenant. And why may they not? Because that is that covenant by which they have been delivered. By His mighty hand. Delivered from the land of Egypt. Delivered out of the house of bondage. Delivered from that bondage to sin. That is that covenant by which they have been separated, taken out of that land by themselves. And the Lord, He will deal with them as His own people. Separated from that same sin, that same bondage, or has sin become to us a bondage? Or is it only that we desire to be freed from the punishment of it? Then we say that is good at the end of my life. But I do not want to be delivered from it today. But when that sin that has become a bondage as it was in the heart of the Apostle Paul, who grieved because of that indwelling sin, then there is a desire that we may be delivered even this very day from that service of sin, to be separated from it. I am the Lord thy God. And that is why the Lord, He lays His work before His church. His work telling of his deliverance. Speaking again of His separation, of His bringing them into that covenant and setting before them their responsibility in it. And not only their responsibility in it, but also His promise in it, in an outward way and in an inward way. That is our second thought. It is His command. And also attached to that command is His promise. I am the Lord thy God, which brought thee out of the land of Egypt. Open thy mouth wide, and I will fill it. Boys and girls, when we read this, I am the Lord thy God, which brought thee out of the land of Egypt, then what do you think about? Then you say, well, it sounds just like that we are reading the law of God. That is right, because that is the same way that we read the introduction of that law of God that is beginning. Thus, that brings us immediately back in our thoughts to His law, that brings us back unto Sinai. That was that time that the Lord, He has brought His children into that covenant now in a new way, a new administration of that covenant that was as a nation. And that first thing that the Lord does is He sets before them what? He sets before them His law at Sinai. His gospel too. What was that in, young people? You can answer it. That is, that was in that ceremonial law that spoke about Christ. It spoke about the way of deliverance and how that God could dwell among them in His Son. But before that He does that, He sets before them His law. And what is now the very first commandment in the law? Children, that is, the Lord says, I am the Lord thy God, and therefore what? Well, He says, thou shalt have no other gods before me. And that is now exactly what we read here too. Hear, O my people, and I will testify unto thee, O Israel, if thou wilt hearken unto me, there shall no strange god be in thee, neither shalt thou worship any strange god. I am the Lord thy God, which brought thee out of the land of Egypt. Open thy mouth wide, and I will fill it. Thus we are brought in remembrance of that covenant, when the Lord reminds His church of that covenant. And then the Lord, He brings them first to the remembrance of His law. And He declares for that people what He has done for them. We heard it. That He removed their shoulder from the burden. That burden in Egypt, right? And He delivered their hands from the pots. That was a great deliverance. That was not able to be done by a man. They cried out in their helplessness unto the Lord. Pharaoh, that was strong, too strong for them. And the Lord, He has delivered them from it. And now the Lord says, when I have delivered your shoulder from the burden, and I have delivered your hands from the pots, from that slavery, wherein you were chastised by that enemy, wherein you had no freedom, when you went over the world in great bondage and distress, and I have delivered you from that, then it is not unreasonable, my people, it is not unreasonable that I should say and that I should require of you that you should never be in the service of any other god but me. And therefore the Lord begins there. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. And that is not only because what I have done for you, but it is also because of what I am willing to do for you. Because the Lord, He does not drive His people, but the Lord, He is drawing His people with a great sweetness. Did you ever taste something, young people, of that sweetness wherein the service of the Lord that is so fully surrounded? Thus the Lord says, if you will but obey my voice and not serve those other gods, then this is now what I am also willing to do for you. Open thy mouth wide, and I will fill it. What is the picture? Children. Again, maybe you have seen that. A little robin that is in the nest, and when there are the little birds, if you have ever seen those little birds, when they have come out of their egg, and then they are looking up to that mother robin, and they have their face right up to the sky, and their mouth that is all the way open. You don't hear a sound from their mouth. I think they are too small. But their mouth that is all the way open. They are helpless creatures. They feel that. They cannot feed themselves. They cannot sustain themselves. and they are waiting. But they are waiting how? They are waiting with an open mouth. And when they wait there with that open mouth, all the way open, then you see that mother. Then she is coming with those worms. And she is placing them into the mouth of each and every one of those little birds, of those helpless creatures. Oh, congregation, this is the picture the Lord gives to us of what? Of Himself, of His people, of His dealings. What is it? Oh, it is such a beautiful picture. It is such an inviting picture. It is such a picture that ought to draw our heart. It is a picture wherein contains so much sweetness. Oh, it is a picture over against an old, a broken covenant. It is a picture of a new covenant. It is a picture of a new and living way. It is a picture of the covenant of grace. And what does the Lord say of that new covenant? Oh, He says, you, my people, you do not need to supply for yourselves. No. Oh, if thou wilt plead, I will. If thou plead, fill thine every need, all thy wants relieving. No, He says, do not go now to any other god. Those gods, they require of you so much. And that is true of the world too. Oh, how much is now required? Molech, you must give sacrifices. You must take those little children and you must bring them through the fire. Does the Lord now require this of you, parents? Oh, no. No, Naaman, he would rather go do some great thing for those other gods, for those idol gods. But what does the Lord say? He says only this. He says, wash, Naaman, and be clean. And so Isaiah, he says what that new covenant is. Wherefore dost thou spend money for that which is not bread? And I labor for that which does not satisfy. Oh, what does the Lord say? He says, oh, my people. He says, where now? Where now can you find an idol? Where now can you find a god in all this world whose yoke is so easy and whose burden is so light as that yoke and that burden that I am now placing on my people? Oh, there is no such a God. Because with me, my people, all you need to do is now to open your mouth. To open it wide. I do not require anything else of you. Just an open mouth in order to receive all the blessings that I am so ready to give unto you. Oh, that open mouth. Oh, he says, that is something that is so pleasant to me. Why? Because I delight to give. That is that new covenant. Seek it in the Word. Seek when you go home to see if you can find it any different than what I say. What that new covenant is. And why? Because the Lord, he says, it is more blessed to give than to receive. And I reserve that part for me, that most blessed part, that I am the one that wants to give. That is now that new covenant. Oh, there is not, congregation, a single requirement. There is not a single requirement from the Lord for His own people. It is just a covenant whereby they receive all the blessings. You say they have to believe. Yes, that is so. But that is no requirement in order that they may earn that they may merit that. Oh, absolutely not. That is only the opening of the mouth. That is only the instrument by which they may receive that free gift that the Lord is proclaiming in that holy gospel. I am the Lord thy God, which brought thee out of the land of Egypt. Open thy mouth, and I will fill it. What can be more simple? Oh, what can be more blessed for a creature who is so helpless as that little bird? Everything is bought. Everything is paid. Everything is accomplished. And now, it is only waiting for the application. It is only waiting for an open mouth. Are there such open mouths also here in our midst? Let us sing. 161, 1, 5, and 8. My soul in silence waits for God. My Savior He has proved. He only is my rock and tower. I never shall be moved. 1, 5, and 8 of Psalter 161. I am the Lord thy God. Congregation, today the sign and seal of that blessed covenant of grace that is set before each and every one of us. And when the Lord sets that seal before us, and then He says, I am the Lord thy God. Do you believe that? Oh, it is at least in an outward way for each and every one of us. And in that, the Lord, He says, thou shalt have no other gods before me. Is that a burden to us? That we would so live in our life with no other gods in this world. Does that easy yoke and that light burden of the Lord, did that ever draw your heart so that it made you weep in your inner chamber, and that it made your heart to make and that blessed willing choice for the Lord above all this world and all that it has to offer? Maybe you say our doctrine that is so hard, that election, that rejection, that one-sided work, is that really so hard? Oh, think only of the great privilege this day that the Lord is setting before each and every one of us. How that in His sovereignty that He has made that choice of each and every one of us to bring us under the outward covenant. Oh, that is in His sovereignty. Do you love now that sovereignty? Because it didn't have to be that way. There are many that have no desire and no knowledge of the truth. But it is now that sovereignty of the Lord, congregation, wherein He is even saying in that outward way, already, I am the Lord thy God. And now what does the Lord require? Does He require great sacrifice? Does He require great burnt offerings? Have we to cut ourselves with knives and lancets? Have we to leave this world? O congregation, what does the Lord require of His people? He says, open thy mouth. And what does that mean? That is an acknowledgement. Open thy mouth. That is an acknowledgement of our emptiness. That is an acknowledgement of our insufficiency. Oh, that is an acknowledgement of our helplessness. And so the Lord says, only tell that to me. Only go on your knees and tell that to me. Who opens their mouth? A beggar opens his mouth. A poor man opens his mouth, one that has nothing in himself and has to receive something from someone else. Oh, can we come to such an acknowledgement? Open thy mouth. That is to make an expression of our great need in our helplessness, like that little bird. To say, Lord, I cannot live except that Thou give it to me, and I have nothing. And at that same time, for us, it is acknowledgement of our guilt in that helplessness, because that is not the same dependence that we had in our creation. Thus, what does the Lord say? He says, only open thy mouth. Only acknowledge thine iniquity that thou hast sinned against me. That is all. Oh, only acknowledge that you cannot change that wretched heart. Only acknowledge that you are a sinner before me. Oh, when do God's people open their mouth? When they come to an end of themselves. Oh, that is necessary to find out. That we are such a poor man. And that we are such a helpless man, because we do not think we are so helpless. No, we say, Lord, have patience with me and I will pay thee all. But when a man comes to his wit's end, oh, then he begins to open his mouth. The most difficult part, congregation, that is to come to an end of ourself, is it not? That is the one. You and I, we are the ones that are standing in the way of that opening of the mouth. Open thy mouth. No, the Lord does not promise that He is going to fill a closed mouth. Your mouth closed? Will you not pray? Because the Lord has not promised that He is going to open a door without that door being knocked upon. No, He says, I will be inquired of by the house of Israel to do it for them like that widow and that unjust judge. Therefore, the Lord says, ask, seek, and knock. Open thy mouth. And open thy mouth how? He says, open thy mouth wide. Why? He says, because I am all sufficient for the greatest of the necessities and for the largest desires that can live within your heart. No, there is no need that I am not able to fill. No one ever looked too much to me, not for temporal needs, not for spiritual needs. You can ask too much of one another, because we do not all have it. But you cannot ask too much of me, because the cattle upon a thousand hills are mine. And the devil and all those gods, they cannot give you what you need for your soul. But, oh, open your mouth and open it wide, because I have for you justification and sanctification. I have for you righteousness and I have for you peace. I have for you reconciliation. I have for you glory. Open thy mouth wide. Why? Because the more you ask, the more that you will receive. Prove me now herewith, and see if I will not open the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing. Open thy mouth wide. Prove my liberality. See if it is not my delight to give in bounties to everyone who confesses that he has nothing in himself and that he is unworthy in himself. Prove me now at my word whether I do not give to all men liberally and upbraid not. See if I will not give you just a crumb to the dog that cries to me, or if he will say when I am finished with him, my cup runneth over. Open thy mouth wide. See if I will rebuke a sinner who comes boldly to the throne of grace that he may find grace to help in time of need. Oh, see once. See if you will be the first one between the fall and today that can say, this poor man cried and the Lord did not hear him. This poor man cried and the Lord turned away from him. See it now. Open thy mouth wide. Congregation, we are so sluggish. And why? Well, because we have no need. Because we feel no need. And because we have wrong thoughts of the Lord. Wrong thoughts. The Lord, He says, my thoughts, they are not your thoughts. And your ways, they are not my ways. Only, He says, open thy mouth. Because, He says, I have thoughts of peace and not of evil. Would you have a new heart? Would you have a new life? Would you like to be forgiven? Would you like to be washed? The Lord says, open thy mouth wide. Open thy mouth wide. And do not let me go, except I bless you, and you will prevail with me. You will prevail with me. Open thy mouth wide, and I will do it. People of the Lord, would you like to have a renewed token? Would you like to see my countenance again? Would you like to hear my voice? Open thy mouth wide. Oh, would you like to have the assurance of your salvation? Would you like to have a renewed sense of my pardoning mercies? Open thy mouth wide, and I will fill a congregation to Solomon. He says, there is a time for every purpose under the heaven. A season and a time. We are now in this time. We are in this time when the Lord, He says, open thy mouth wide and I will fill it. That time will not be forever. But once that opportunity that is going to be withdrawn. And when we have never opened our mouth and received from the Lord, then it will be as with that rich man in hell. And he had requests also, but every one of those requests that was turned away. People of the Lord, how short are those seasons wherein you are given to lay all your arguments before the Lord? Are they not rare? Is it not a good reason that we read in God's word that that bride, she says to the daughters of Jerusalem, she says, if ye find my beloved, tell him that I am sick of love. Because they are rare seasons in the life of God's children, wherein they can receive that access unto that throne of grace. But our farmers know that they have to make hay when the sun shines. And when that sun is shining, congregation, then they are not on their couch in the house. No, then they are out in the fields. And the blacksmith knows that he has to strike when that iron is hot. And that sailor knows that he has to strike sail while that wind is blowing. Oh, that King Joash, he smote 3 times, we read, and he stayed. And the prophet of the Lord, he says, thou shouldest have smitten 5 or 6 times, because then thou hadst smitten thine enemies until thou hadst consumed them. And the Lord, he says, now open thy mouth. Oh, if we do not receive a congregation, the Lord, he places the fault on us. Do you hear it? Because the Lord, he will say, if you had only asked of me, then I would have given you such and such things. Open thy mouth wide, and I will fill it. That is not our word. No, that is the word of the Lord. To his covenant people, both outwardly and inwardly. You say, I do not know how to pray. Oh, then open your mouth. The Lord doesn't say that it needs to come something out of it. No, he says, only open that mouth. Oh, the Lord can fill that mouth. He can fill that mouth out of the need of your heart. That when you will only open it and when you will only begin, and that you will find that the Lord gives you to go on and on. And that he will give you sighs and groanings of the Spirit of the Lord that cannot be uttered. Oh, the day of grace, that is a rare season. A rare season. It is a short time between the cradle congregation and the grave to be under that covenant. This covenant with our children, that is a rare thing. That is a rare thing. But now to be in that covenant, that is rarer yet. Rarer yet. And why? Because those that are under that covenant, they do not do as the Lord commands of them. Because he says to them, open thy mouth. I am the Lord thy God. I have brought thee there. The first step. So close to me. And now only open thy mouth. And I will fill it. May that be our experience and the experience of our children. Amen. O Lord of heaven and of earth, thy yoke that is so easy, and thy burden that is so light, but we have no desires. Oh, we need to be converted. Except a man be born again, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. Oh, could thou convert many, Lord, by thy word even in this day, that it may be bound with thy love in the heart, and that for the first time, that a man, a woman, a boy and girl may enter their secret chamber and lay before thee where thou hast brought them in their life, and that they may lay before thee thy own word, and to say, Lord, thou alone hast said it, thou alone hast promised it. Wilt thou do it unto me? Wilt thou do it also unto my children? And Lord, wilt thou do it here in the midst of our congregation, that we may become indeed praying people, and that thy name may be known within the heart of each and every one. Bring us safely to the places where we are expected. We may acknowledge thee for thy help in this morning hour and the administration of word and sacrament above all our expectation. Lord, that thou may further strengthen us for our labors. Help him that will labor in this afternoon hour, and do forgive all our sins for Jesus' sake. Amen. 431, 3, 4, and 6. Hear, my children, hear, saith the Lord who bore thee. Never serve nor fear gods of wood or stone. I am God alone. Worship and adore me. 3, 4, and 6 of Psalter 431. receive the blessing of the Lord and go in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen. Bless.